Welcome once again to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Coach and very Christmas-looking today, Doug Gefeller.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be with you here in studio as we celebrate our last Coaching Perspective radio show of the year. And, hey, we've already been in the Christmas spirit, Paul and I here, as evidenced by the fact that we are starting early. A first,
yeah. We're just a little extra bonus here for Christmas.
So you'll get an extra couple minutes of the Coaching Perspective radio show. Well, look, I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. Our topic for today is, it's time for your victory tour. No, this is not going to be about politics. It's all about taking a deep dive into how you've done in 2016 before you launch into your planning for the next year. We're going to learn all about the three C's of good planning. But first, let me just say that I'm a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation. I've been coaching business owners, senior executives, and their teams for 20 years, helping them to clarify their objectives and reach their goals. I've been serving on boards of directors for the last 12 years, and I've been working with advisory boards for 20 years. But if you'd like to know more about my coaching service, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com. Well, let's get going here. It's time for your victory tour. As I said, this is not about politics. It's about what you have to do before you start your planning. Let me tell you something that I've noticed recently. I noticed, especially this time of year, that when my wife starts out to bake or cook something new, what's the first thing that she does? Well, the first thing she does is she assembles all of the needed ingredients and utensils on the kitchen counter before she starts. I've observed the same habit with my grandsons when they're starting to assemble a new Lego model. The first thing they do is they get everything they're going to need, they lay out the plan, and they get organized before they start. You know, I think this is the same habit that we need to use before we start our planning for the next year. We first need to know where we've been, where we've ended up, before we can start planning on where we want to go. Have you ever used one of those maps at the mall to find a store? I've been out Christmas shopping a couple times with Leslie, and of course, not being that familiar with the malls, if we park in a different place and come in from a different angle, I'm lost. I don't know where we're going. I know where I want to go, so we find one of those maps, and the first thing we do, what do we look for on the map? We're looking for that "You Are Here" button, because you can't get to where you're going if you don't know where you are. So that's what today's show is about. It's about what you have to do to find your "You Are Here" button before you start launching into a whole bunch of New Year's resolutions, strategic plans, business plans, whatever it is you want to call it, goal setting, that we all do at this time of year. Well, let me share with you the way that I do it. Maybe not the world's best, but it works for me. The first thing I do is I get my daily calendar for the past year and my daily journals out. I then take out a sheet of paper and I make three columns. The columns are labeled continue, cease, and commit. Those are the three C's that will become the basis for your new plan. And the objective is to review my activities for the last year and identify habits or activities that I need to put in each of these columns going forward into the next year. So before we can do that, let's talk a little bit more about what those labels really mean. Continue. This is the list where the habit or the activities are put that you don't want to stop doing. These are the proven tools that have worked well for you in the past. And you want to be sure that in your chasing down some bright new shiny ball, that you don't forget what already works for you. You know, in my case, when I reviewed the past year, I realized that the days I listed out my key objectives for that day in my daily journal, I was more likely to accomplish my goals than the days that I didn't have the time to make a list of what was critical for that day. So in the continue column, I put keep daily journal list. I also discovered, going back over my calendar and my journal, that, you know, when I was able to group my coaching calls back to back, that I achieved more. You know, it seemed that it might make more sense to allow myself a break of an hour or a half hour between coaching calls, but looking at what I accomplished, I realized that when I had time in between the calls, basically I wasted it. It wasn't enough time to get me excited about starting some new project. So in the continue column on my list goes batch similar activities like phone calls. You know, you also want to make a list of the things that you were going to do or that you started and didn't finish. You know, these are things you need to continue. These are the good intentions, the projects that you made a note of to do or that you started and didn't get done. But once you've made this list, because in my case, this is always maybe one of the biggest lists that I end up making, I have to go back over the list to make sure that those items are still critical. You know, it's amazing how many things that we write down as being critical in January or February or maybe 4 weeks ago just go away. They no longer are critical. They no longer need to be done. Maybe we've missed an opportunity, and that's unfortunate. We hate to see things go away that way, but maybe the problem just resolved itself and we don't need to do anything about it. Well, let's pause for a minute because you may be thinking, why are these daily work habits critical to my planning for the next year? The reason is that before we start planning new things, we need to be sure that we've laid out the basic groundwork that's going to allow us to work efficiently. Just like the person starting to bake a new recipe, or just like the kids putting together a Lego set, if they haven't laid everything out and analyzed what are all these pieces about, what's the picture look like? What is it going to look like at the end? Then you really can't get going very well. All right, the second column, cease. This is the list of things you want to stop doing. This is probably the easiest list to make. These are habits that haven't served us well. In my case, and I hate to say this has been on my list more than once, I realized that my habit of reading email first thing in the morning creates a whole lot of distractions and wastes my most creative time of the day for writing or developing new programs. So in the cease column goes, stop reading emails first thing. You know, what happens to me when I read emails first thing is that, and it probably happens to you, is so many of those emails have a link to some site that just is calling my name, that I know I have to go look and see if that thing they're talking about, or if that video, or if that book is really worth listening to or researching. So looking at the email is not just the time I spend looking at the email, it's the time that I spend on the side issues that I get sucked into because of looking at that email. You know, when you're going over your journal or your to-do list, you probably found many items that you didn't do or didn't complete, but now is the time to reevaluate and decide if they're really, really necessary. The third column is the commit column. These are things that I want to start doing. For example, in reviewing my calendar, I realized that there's some clients or associates that I just don't keep in touch with on a regular basis. These are people I really like or clients that I really like, but as I look at my calendar, my journal, I realize that maybe I've kept the appointments with them, but I haven't spent any extra time with them. So I prepared a list of key people, and I'm going to track monthly whether I ever talk to these people, whether I talk to them in person, whether I talk to them on the phone, or whether I email them. I also realize, in terms of things I want to commit to do, that I've not been doing as many networking events as usual this past year. So that's something that I need to change, and I'm going to set a goal of how many meetings I need to attend each month and put that on my commit calendar. You know, once you've gone through this list, once you're done with this, you should have a pretty good list of things in all three categories. The trick now is to select the top three, no more than the top three, that you're going to focus on in each of these three groups. So you want to select three items that you're going to continue doing, three items that you're going to cease doing, and three items that you're going to commit to start doing. Now, some of the clients that I have that I've worked with like this so much that they end up making two separate lists. They kind of get by my limit of three things by making a list of personal and a business list. So on their personal list, there's continue, cease, and commit, and three things under each one. And on the business list, same thing, and three things under each one. If that works for you, that's fantastic. Couple more questions before you really are ready to start your planning for the next year. You know, I find that it helps an awful lot if you stop and think for a minute, what are you most proud of from this year? Either personal or business or both. What thing did you do? What event did you participate in? What thing did you accomplish? What relationship did you develop? What is it that, if I ask you, hey, Paul, what is the most significant thing that you did this year that makes you feel the best about what you do? Once you've identified that, you've really identified what it is that you really like to do. And that's usually the things that we do the best. So as you're thinking about new things, you want to make sure that you keep that category or that grouping of things in mind, because you want to build on what you've already started to do and gotten a lot of satisfaction out of and probably done a great job on it. The other question, not an easy question, but key, is what do you want to do different, or what do you want to be different next year at this time? Again, personal, business, or both. Once you know what should be different, then you can start working backwards to identify what you have to change. So as you stop to think about it, you know, when you're sitting here in this same spot next year, are you going to be sitting in the same spot, or do you see yourself in a new office? Are you going to still be working? Are you going to be working alone? Are you going to have hired 10 more people? What do you want to be different at this time next year? And then work backwards and say, what do I have to do to be able to accomplish that? Do I need to make more money? Do I need to make plans? Do I need to do certain things in January and then in February and then in June so that by December of 2017 that I've been able to really make that plan work? Well, once you've done these things, now you're ready to start setting your vision for the next year. A couple of cautions here. Let me back up for a minute before we get into that. One of the things that I've done for years with my clients is when they've developed this list of things that they want to continue and cease and commit to, and the three things under each one of them that are key for the year, is I usually have them type this up on the computer, reduce it in size so that it's about the size of a business card, laminate it in plastic, and put it in their wallet with their credit cards. Every time you pull out your credit cards, this list is going to get stuck to one of those cards and you're going to pull it out. And just by looking at it on a frequent basis, you're going to find that you are more likely to accomplish every one of those goals. Some people like to sort of blow it up bigger, not make it business card size, but blow it up bigger or make it a screensaver. Put it in front of their computer so that every day they look at it. You know, I tried that one. It doesn't work real well for me because anything that sits on my desk for more than a week, I don't see it anymore after the first week. I become so used to it sitting there, it doesn't leap out at me. But if I stick it in a little card laminated in my wallet, every time I pull it out, I'm in a different place, in a different environment, doing something different, and it kind of leaps out at me. And frequently people go, what was that you just pulled out? Oh, let me tell you about my list of three things. So that's a great way to say and sort of turn this exercise from an exercise into something that really works with you. Okay, now let's start setting the vision for the next year. A couple of cautions. You know, I've been working with some clients over the last couple months as they start their business planning or strategic planning, whatever you want to call it. And what I find is the most common thing that people do when they start their business planning is to look at how they're going to increase their revenue. How do I sell more widgets? How do I increase my revenue? How do I increase my sales? It's all top line focus. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but let's face it. The real important number for us in business is not the top line, it's the bottom line. What's left at the bottom of the page as profits? That's our reward for all of the work that we did. The sales line, the revenue line, is just one component of many. When we look at it, there's the revenue line, there's the inventory cost, there's the overhead cost, the G&A cost, the marketing costs, the transportation costs. I mean, you can go on and on, however you want to break it out. But there's lots of things that go into making up the bottom net profit line. So what are you going to do in terms of focusing on how to get the bottom line bigger besides just increasing the top line? Because increasing the top line doesn't necessarily mean that the bottom line has in fact increased. You know, many businesses we find are in sort of a plateau situation. In other words, I've built the company up with the staff I've got and everything. I can sell 600 widgets, but if I want to sell 610, I have to have a new, more warehouse space. I have to have another delivery truck. I need three more people to answer the phones. And all of a sudden, to sell 610 and make the same profit that I did at 600 units, I really have to sell 800 or 900 or 1,000 units because of the fixed cost that I'm going to incur to go to that next level. So take a good look at your business, whether you're an independent practitioner or whether you're running a larger company, and look at, you know, what are the plateaus? At what point can you handle more business without increasing significantly any of your costs? And if you do increase them to handle more business, how much more business do you have to have before you're back to the same point that you're at today with a lower volume? There isn't a person I've met who can tell me that they are operating at 100% efficiency. Everybody I've ever talked to says, well, yeah, I could be more efficient. Some people are going out on a limb and saying, you know, I could probably be 100% more efficient, or I could be 50% more efficient, or maybe they're conservative and they go, well, I suppose I could be 10% more efficient. But what is it that you need to do for yourself or for your employees or your company to make the business more efficient without increasing the top line revenue number? What can you do with what you already have that would make you more efficient, increase the margin? Can you reduce some expenses? What do you have to do to reduce some mistakes? What do you have to do to reduce the unbilled time that you can't charge? What are you going to have to do to increase that bottom line? Okay, so that it's not just sales focused. I was talking to a couple of companies, and we were looking at the fact that, boy, they've been swamped this last year. They have had a lot of business. They've got a great year. The revenue is up. The margin is good. But one of the things when they looked at the business carefully is they realized that, you know, there were a lot of things that they didn't do right that they had to do twice or maybe three times. There were things that they had to do over that they couldn't bill to the clients. There were things that, you know, they didn't get started on the job right. They didn't really understand what was needed. They didn't, you know, think about all the contingencies when they were doing the contract. And all of those things might have either caused a loss of profit in the job, or more likely, maybe they just caused the company to make less profit than what they were shooting for. So the question is, when you look at that, what caused us to do that? Was it because we aren't spending enough time on our contracts? Was it because that we really don't have anybody that's proficient at writing contracts? Do we need to hire a contract administrator? Well, gee, that's extra cost, Doug. How can I afford that? Well, if you look at how much you lost this last year because of contracts that weren't written efficiently, it might be the cheapest money you could ever spend to hire a contract administrator. Or maybe we're talking project managers. Maybe your project managers are overworked. They can't get around and keep in touch and respond quick enough, as quick as they'd like. They don't have as much time to develop the personal relationships that make the subcontractor relations or the city relations or the vendor relations go smoother, that produces things quicker or on schedule. So what would it cost to hire another project manager? Well, I can't afford another project manager, Doug. That would cost me X number of dollars. Well, What did you lose on projects that didn't operate as efficiently as you would have liked? You know, the encouragement I want to give you here is to really carefully look at other than just the top line. I don't want to say don't look at the top line, but I want to seriously ask you to not put 100% of your effort this next year on just building the top line. But how can you improve the other lines that make up the bottom line profit? Some things take an investment. You know, if you are going to produce more product and you're a manufacturer, you have to have new equipment, a new machine. If you have a new machine, you might run out of space. You need a new factory or factory space. You might need more people to run those machines. But you'd look at all those things and go, I could afford, if I did those things, I could produce 200 more widgets and sell them, and it would more than double the cost of the equipment and the space and the person to run it. So why don't we look at the rest of our expenses the same way? Not just what would it take to produce more widgets, but what would it take to make less mistakes? What would it take to finish ahead of schedule? What would it take to have a more efficient contractual relationship with the client or the vendors? Those are the things that make the difference between the companies that get by when there's a lot of volume in the good times and the companies that make money all the time. Whether or not their volumes are high or low, their margins are consistent. And I think that is a better goal to have than just chasing the number, the top line number. You know, when I think about this or talk about this problem, I can't get that old TV commercial out of my head. The guy that would come on late at night when I was watching the late movies, and he'd be selling cars, and he'd say, come on down, I'm going to give you the price on this car. I lose money on every car, but I make it up on the volume. You know, even at that point in my career, I knew that something didn't make sense about that. So those are the things you need to look at. Let me give you a quick review of some questions that I work with my clients on besides this. What are your main successes this past year? What are the lessons you learned? What didn't you complete that you need to still do? And here's the key one. What do you need to let go of? What are you holding on to that's creating stress and problems and taking time that you need to just let go of? Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a client. Maybe it's a product that just isn't working out. What are you most proud of in the last year? What were your biggest disappointments and why? What will be different next year at this time? And all of those things will help you create the vision that you need based upon the three C's of what are you going to continue doing things that have been proven in the past for you? What are you going to see? Stop doing things that you know are not right. And what are you going to commit to doing different or new that's going to get you to where you want to go? That's all I have to say about that, as the man says. But before I sign off today, I'd like to just thank all of my listeners, both the listeners to the live show here and the listeners that listen to the podcast. I want to thank those of you who read the newsletter on a regular basis, but haven't got around to listening to the shows on a regular basis. Okay, I understand that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you know, we wouldn't have had a show without some great guests. And this past year, we had 30 guests who appeared on our 44 shows this last year. And boy, did that make it a lot easier. And we had a great producer who appeared on every single show, making sure that the mechanics and the behind-the-scenes production of a live radio show and podcast worked out. So Paul Roberts here at OC Talk Radio, thank you very much for your efforts. Well, if you're listening to our podcast, thanks for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out the archives for other shows with great guests. And speaking of guests, we're starting to schedule our guests, well, we've already started scheduling guests for 2017, so if you'd like to be on the show, just drop me an email, Doug@thecoachingperspective.com. And if your question is, well, what does it take to be on the show? Here's what it takes. It takes you dropping me an email. It doesn't cost you anything. There's no screening process. I'm interested in talking to interesting people. If you're a coach, boy, we've got something in common. If you're in HR, We all are dealing with HR. If you're a business executive, we got something in common. If you just wrote a new book, hey, I'd like to know what you wrote about. So don't be shy. Get on the show. It's a lot of fun. Well, this is Doug Gefeller. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I hope you enjoyed the shows this year, that the discussions have provided you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. I'll be back with you again on January 5th, 2017. Have a great Christmas, New Year's, and holidays.